Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
It's always fun to talk to our next guest, Rod Gilmore, ESPN. You see him doing a whole bunch of college football games throughout the course of the college football season. Rod, what's going on? How you been?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Tom. How about yourself? I'm good. Back home and glad not to be on the road traveling anymore. It is crazy out there, man.
Home is nice, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. I think the pandemic is over for the rest of the country. It's wild out there, man. Be careful if you travel.
They're like, let's go. We need to get our party on.
Really?
So give us your thoughts on the five quarterbacks that went in the first round. And by situation, who has the best chance to succeed? Not by their talent, but by the situation they're in.
Well, you know, history tells us that probably only two of them, maybe three, are going to turn out to perform well. I mean, the last few drafts, we've seen that. We've had top 10 quarterbacks fail. You know, I think right off the bat, let's just start with Trey Lance, you know, right off the bat, because – you know, he's our guy here in the Bay Area. And the one thing I still haven't gotten a clear answer about is how in the world did he get out of high school and not get a Power 5 offer? I don't understand that. And I'm trying to connect with my guy, PJ Fleck at Minnesota, because he recruited him but didn't want him to play a quarterback, didn't think he was a quarterback, wanted him to be a wide receiver. And everybody else was sort of down on him. So how does a guy go from not getting a Power 5 offer and starting one season and becoming the third pick in the draft? you know, we don't see that very often. And, you know, my guy Trent Dilfer, we chatted about this, you know, the other day. And Trent said, look, you know, he was all that at the Elite 11, you know, regionals and quarters. He didn't make it to the finals, but that he just wasn't getting a look. You know, people had their guys and, you know, kind of lazy approach to it. You know, if you aren't from California, Texas, you know, Georgia, you know, with the four or five stars, folks aren't looking at the guy who comes from a small town in Minnesota. And that's just lazy recruiting, because anyone in the Big Ten could have had him easily, but they didn't. And how do you not see that talent and the like? So he's in a great spot. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, I guess, about, you know, 49ers and, you know, my trust and faith in John Lynch and who's doing his homework. When you put on the tape and you watch what he did at North Dakota State, there's not a lot of concepts that will be new for him. He played under center. He did some shotgun, the play action game, using motion, multiple tight ends, doing a huddle. And commanding a huddle, you know, he's done all that stuff. You know, the deep ball, coming off receivers, you know, all that stuff he's done. I don't know if he handled pass protection, you know, from the line of scrimmage. I would assume in that system that is similar to the 49ers that they run, he probably did, but I don't know that for a fact. So he's got a pretty good chance with a solid team around him that should be, you know, a Super Bowl contender. To be in the mix. I think the smart thing is for him to push Garoppolo, probably not to be the week one starter, but to get some time and see where he is 2, 3, 4 games into the season. But he fits into that system really, really well. So he's got a really good chance to do a lot and be really successful. Trevor Lawrence, you know, I think Urban Meyer is going to do everything he can to protect him and keep him healthy, because right now that's the big question. You know, we see top picks get beat up because they don't have the offensive line or the running game to protect them, and they just get beat up early on, and that becomes a huge, huge problem for them. So I think that's the issue for him. Otherwise, I think he's very likely. And then Justin Fields at Chicago, good place for him to land. But the big question to me, the only question for Justin Fields is really, you know, his health, the issue of epilepsy, and is he going to outgrow it? Is he done with it? Is it going to show up? I think that certainly scared some people off. But all the other criticism that you heard about him, I didn't see it on tape. It just didn't register. You know, you can complain he wasn't under center enough. Yeah, that's going to be something he's going to have to learn to do a bit more. But all the other things you look for in a 6'3", 225-pound player who has a solid work ethic, the guy's a vegan, for heaven's sakes, and cooks a lot of his own stuff. He knows how to be disciplined. So I don't worry about his work ethic at all. And Mac Jones, I mean, to fall to the Patriots, he's probably got a year to wait or so under Cam Newton. They're used to having quarterbacks who don't move very well in the pocket that they have to protect. You know, you're not going to sprint them out an awful lot. So I think, he's got a chance to have some success, but you know, if they don't have receivers there, he could struggle. They could struggle there if they don't have that. And again, because he's a guy who doesn't move as well as a lot of the other guys, that's an issue. Who am I missing? Who's the fifth guy?
Zach Wilson.
Oh, Zach Wilson, yeah. Well, you know, Zach Wilson at the Jets, I mean, you know, have the Jets changed? Have they turned the corner? Can they protect their quarterback and treat him like a guy? You know, I mean, there's no question about his talent and ability, but if you had to pick one guy in one situation that you were worried about, it would be Zach Wilson with the Jets because of their history. And, you know, a guy going to New York, the bright lights and having to perform, he's probably going to be the day one starter without a doubt. And, you know, it took him a while to transition at BYU to be the guy. He struggled for a couple of seasons. And then, you know, his third season, he blew up. So I would expect to see something similar from him in New York, because he'll be dealing with a lot more in New York than he was in Salt Lake City.
You know, it's interesting. I just read this whole breakdown from Scott McLuhan, the former Niner GM, and he's comparing Trey Lance to Dak Prescott. And I think that's a decent comparison. I mean, very physical player, tough guy, smart guy, a leader, conscientious football player. But, you know, it really does come down to, it's funny, some scout one time said to me, all these quarterbacks, it's a race from day one to find out, can they learn what to do before they physically get debilitated by all the hits they take. And that's my concern with Wilson, is like, is he going to be force fed because there is no Darnold and he's got a subpar cast, and is he going to take a bunch of hits and be destroyed physically before he ever truly learns the nuances of the pro game? Lance, what's ideal, you think, Rod, as far as, I like the Mahomes plan where, you know, you play him maybe at the end of the first year, but what do you think's an ideal amount of time to groom these guys, the player? Would you rather them play, or would you rather them sit and watch?
Yeah, great question. And actually, I've talked to my go-to quarterback guys a lot the last few weeks about that. You know, Trent Dilfer and I talk about it. EJ Manuel, you know, who was at the Raiders for a while. Mm-hmm. And I tend to believe what they had to say. They were like, you know, look, you start week one, that is a real, real problem, not just – you know, externally, but internally, you know, your juices are flowing. And, I mean, you can't hide from what it means. You know that. The sense and feeling from those guys is, look, somewhere between 4 and 8 games, somewhere in that range, if you can watch early on and make sure you get comfortable, you get some reps in games, becoming the starter somewhere between the 4th week and the 8th week is ideal. The higher you're drafted, the less likely that is, because, you know, guys try to put you out there in a hurry. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, and even John Elway, you know, Elway started week one, you know, his rookie season. And I think he was something like 1 for 8 or 1 for 10 or so. And he went to the bench for a couple of weeks, and Steve DeBerg came back in. And then it was about midseason before he became the guy again. And, you know, there's a fair amount of that before you get comfortable. So I tend to agree with them that having a guy like Trey Lance, you know, sit and push Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, to push him in practice, to push him in the film room, to push him in preseason so he knows he's coming, and Jimmy will play better. you know, all that. And to see that it's not handed to him and that he overtakes him at some point, and that the team, most importantly, sees that he's earned it. You know, players, you can fool the fans and you can fool the media, but you can't fool the guys in the locker room. They know who should be on the field. There's no doubt about that. And when the locker room knows, you got to let the guy out there. You got to let him play.
Yeah.
And to your point about Zach Wilson, you know, it's sort of like, you know, reading, you know, NBA, you know, pregame charts where, you know, list a guy at 6'9", 6'10", and he's only, you know, 6'4", or whatever. Zach Wilson, who was consistently listed like 215, 217 pounds or so at BYU, he looks in person to be like a buck 90, a buck 95. He does not carry a lot of weight to where it looks, you know, like he's very thick. So he'll get thicker, but I share your concern that with a weak offense around him and the pressure to play him, that he gets beat up a little bit. And he has a history of that between the shoulder, the thumb, you know, and other things. You know, keeping him healthy is going to be a real issue for the Jets.
That's our friend Rod Gilmore, ESPN college football analyst, joining us on the UMA guest line here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. I want to actually steal something from Tommy that he's mentioned here over the last few days since the Lance pick became official, that the idea of using Trey Lance over the course of this season in certain packages for the Niners, kind of a Taysom Hill type situation, could you see that as being beneficial to his development, accelerating his development maybe just a little bit? Could you see it being something that's a good idea in theory but probably dangerous in practice?
I like the idea of getting him in games, but look, he's way more talented than Taysom Hill, and he may look like Dak Prescott, you know, all due respect to Scott McLuhan, but he is way more talented, accurate than Prescott was coming out of college. Now, Zach had Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, who was a quarterback guy, quarterback guru. And I did a lot of Mississippi State games. And, you know, Dan would tell us, look, you know, I got to teach him, you know, before he's a senior, I got to teach him to get the ball out. I got to teach him to check it down. You know, he's holding it too long. You know, we got to get... When you watch Trey Lance on film, he does that already. I mean, he lines up, he spins back, you know, play action, and he gets a look, and he's decisive, and he's like, nope, I'm going to the hot guy. I'm getting the ball out. Nope, I'm in a little bit of trouble. I'm sliding in the pocket. I got nothing. My eyes are downfield. It's still nothing. Now I'm taking off. And when he takes off, he's more Patrick Mahomes than he is Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's not going to – you know, change of direction, shimmy and all that. He's straight up going to go. He's got that speed. So I think when you talk about playing a guy like him, I don't have a sub package for him. Like, you know, you're going to come in here and run this and run that. I'm going to give him a smaller portion of the offense and tell him to go run it, you know, and get him in there and let him play, but don't make him, you know, a quarterback run game guy only. Let him throw it, let him do the other things, but get him in the game so that by the time you get to week 4 or week 6 or week 8 or whatever it is, you know, he's now just expanding what he's been doing, and it's not a whole new concept for him.
Rod, what do you think the most optimistic timeline is for him, being that he didn't play last year, that one game, small school? What do you think the most optimistic timeline is?
Well, here's what I would do. If I didn't have to pressure to him, if I don't have fans and other expectations, I'd like for him to really kind of redshirt this year. You know, for me personally, think about it. He's thrown a total of 400 passes in his high school and college career. There's no doubt about his talent, none whatsoever. He missed all of that last year except for one game, and that one game he was 15 of 30, and he had his first pick in college. But he's only had 17 games in college, and he didn't throw it that much in high school. So you can look and you see all the great talent, all the things that he will do, but he needs reps. You know, the more I talk to quarterback guys, the one thing that we come to see, they see and I see, is he just needs reps. So getting more reps at this level, and this isn't a guy who is just, you know, jumping from college to the NFL. He's jumping a couple of levels. He didn't play against, you know, the top division in college football with the defensive linemen who can run you down and the cornerbacks that and safeties where when you're trying to squeeze the ball in there, there is a tiny window. The window is not the same that you see, you know, at the FBS level or you saw at the FCS level for him. The window is going to be smaller and it's going to close quicker. So he needs that time. So I'd like to see him, you know, redshirt this year, get him a few reps in games, whatnot, push Jimmy, make Jimmy a better quarterback who you can't unseat quickly. You know, I think that would be the most ideal thing. The most realistic is that he's your guy. You know, he's a third pick in the draft. He's your guy somewhere between, you know, weeks 4 and 8. Does he have the potential to be a week one starter? He does, because a lot of the stuff the 49ers do, he's done already. So none of that is a huge jump. But getting used to the NFL, the speed, the smaller windows, all that kind of stuff is going to be different for him.
You know, I know you watch a lot of West Coast ball. Two names as a broadcaster, I'm sure you had to practice in the pregame, Diamador Lenore from Oregon and then Talanoa Hufanga from SC, who was just incredible against UCLA. My goodness, the UCLA game, he was like Junior Seau, you know, Junior out there. He was incredible. But what do you think of those two guys? The Niners supposedly loved Hufanga, and he was the defensive player of the year in the conference.
Yeah, I voted for him. He's a playmaker. Now he can do all the stuff that you want in and around the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's going to get to the football. He's going to make tackles. He's going to be an intimidator. His weakness is when you ask your safety to play the deep middle or you ask him to split half the field. That's not his strongest suit. If he did that stuff reasonably well, he would have been, you know, a first or second round pick. But that's his weakness. So he's going to be a guy that, you know, you roll him down into the box as a safety. You play him as a big nickel that you can use for pressuring the quarterback and for dealing with underneath routes. So of the two guys, he is the guy to me that is more intriguing as a guy who can make an impact. And when I say impact, I mean guy who can hit the quarterback, a guy who can, you know, take the ball away, you know, really kind of be intimidating. So to me, he's that kind of guy. But if you're asking him to, you know, split half the field or play the deep middle, he doesn't have that range. And you're asking a guy to do something that he doesn't do great. He may get there. He's not there yet. And I'm a big believer that you don't ask players to do things like that, that they can't do really well. You're just sort of setting them up for failure.
Yeah.
I feel like people have kind of gone overboard with Kyle Pitts, but then you watch him play and you're like, damn, this guy's like better than anybody I've ever seen at this position. And I've seen Tony Gonzalez, and Tony Gonzalez was an incredible athlete. And Kittle is incredible. I think Kittle, what makes Kittle so good is he blocks like a tackle too. So you just don't get that with a guy that can do what he does. And he's the toughest SOB on the field just about every time he's out there. But this dude is different. Like, you just look at this guy, and it's hard to say it in the NFL. Like, you can say it in the NBA, right? A guy comes in the league, like when LeBron came in the league. You're like, Hall of Famer. If he didn't get hurt, he's Hall of Famer. You just look at guys, got Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. It's hard to do that in the NFL. But I look at this guy, and I'm like, if this guy isn't in the Hall of Fame, something happened that I didn't foresee happening, because the way the game is played now and his skill set, like, he's the one guy I look at in the first round and say, if that dude misses, I don't know what I'm watching when I watch football anymore. Because that guy, isn't that guy just a Hall of Famer if he stays healthy?
He was the best player in college football last year. And if we did voting for the Heisman based on best player, most productive, he would have won it. But we don't give it to tight ends, you know. That's the reality of it. He is the only guy that I can remember seeing that really tilts the field where, you know, you've watched the Warriors lately where, you know, 2 and 3 guys are just, you know, scurrying after, you know, Steph Curry every time he crosses half court. Mm-hmm. You know, folks were doing that for Kyle Pitts in college, and it didn't matter, you know. It didn't matter. It was same with Steph Curry. It doesn't matter. He's going to impact the game. So, Gonzalez, tremendous Hall of Famer, but he doesn't have the same speed, you know, as Kyle Pitts. You know, Pitts will run by your quickest, fastest corner. He will abuse any linebacker you put on him or safety. They have no business being anywhere near him. And with the rules in the NFL, the 5-yard bump rule, he's going to get off the line of scrimmage. The dumbest thing a team could do would take him and make him play down after down, attached to the tackle on the line. That's the dumbest thing you could do. So you're seeing more and more of the college game, the wide open game, get to the NFL. And with a guy like him, you have a decided advantage every single time, because you can't play man against him. There's just, I don't care who you have back there. He's too tall, too fast, too big, too athletic. And when he's covered, he's open because he still outjumps everybody. He's crazy. He's a total freak. Yes, Hall of Famer. Should be. And if he isn't, fire the coach, fire the GM, fire all everybody.
He's a jumbo wide receiver, except they call him a tight end. He's just awesome.
He's athletic. He changes direction. I've seen him make one-handed catches, and then I look at his hands and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, you know. He's something special, man. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How about
you
guys, Trey Sermon, the 49ers third-round pick?
What'd you think of that? You like that one?
I do. I do like it because you probably saw him near the end of last season. He was, initially he was an Oklahoma guy. He was your leading rusher. Comes over to Ohio State and didn't make an impact right away. I think they had to figure out the best way to use him. And, he got that late in the season, the Big Ten championship game with Northwestern, and in the playoffs he was just, on fire. He's an inside runner. And if your team runs the inside zone, when you run that inside zone, it's really a straight-ahead sort of downhill running play, and you're trying to hit that gap between, the guard and the center on one side. And immediately, if it's not there, you are one cut, and you cut it back the other way, to the B gap, that gap between, the guard and the tackle. So he is really good with the inside zone and recognizing right away whether it's full steam ahead or put your foot in the ground and cut it back and go the other way. Hmm. So he's done that really, really well. He's not a guy that is going to dance, and be shifty trying to figure out where he needs to go. He knows that's not his style. He is, I'm coming at you, I'm hitting this gap, and if I know it's not there, I'm putting my foot in the ground, I'm going the other way, and that's it. He's not a third down receiver. He's okay in pass protection, but if you want somebody to pound the rock for you first down and second down and to set the physical tone and break some tackles, and if he does break some, he's got the speed to really cause damage. Yeah, he's a good third-round pick, and he's in the third round because, he's not the complete back that you can play every down, but he will be really, really good on first and second down.
Rod, you're always really, really good with us, my man. We appreciate the time and the insights. Stay off them roads, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. You're not going to pull me out of home anytime soon, guys. Not going to happen.
See you, Rod.
Be well, Rod. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.